scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. It's chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. And this is the parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to the heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. This ends the reading.
Jerusalem was set on top of a mountain, and the temple was set on a high point in the city. It was a fitting location for the temple of God. Its location said something about the holiness of God. Wherever you might be, you had to look up to see the temple, and you had to go up to get there. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, even this tax collector." Then the Pharisee recounted all the habits and behaviors that made him, oh, so wonderful as he thought that he was. Now the tax collector, on the other hand, went to a far corner of the temple where he could be alone with his shame. He couldn't even look up to heaven, as was the custom in praying at that time. He was ashamed, and he had reason to be, and he knew it. Head down, spirit broken, he prayed, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus said, "I tell you, this man, this lowly tax collector, went to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted." He was justified, blessed in the sight of God. We just love this story. There's something in us that wants to see the underdog, the little guy, win. We love the story because there's something in us that wants to see the high and mighty brought down. We love this story because we often feel ordinary. We resent the person who is not ordinary. The one who has it all. Serves him right, we say. But the people to whom Jesus first told this story didn't love it at all. Jesus told this story to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. They had much in common with the Pharisee in the story, and they knew that they were the butt of the story. They hated the story. They hated Jesus for telling it. Fine, serves them right too, we say. But we've got to be careful of Jesus' parables. Because if we're not, we just might find ourselves the butt of the story. Jesus didn't tell parables to be entertaining or to give us a warm and fuzzy feeling inside. No, he gave us the parables to bring us closer to God. And sometimes that can be painful. He gave us parables to call us to spiritual growth, to change our hearts and the direction of our lives, and often that is painful. Look again at this parable. The Pharisee prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, even like this tax collector. God did not honor that prayer because it was one of arrogance and self-satisfaction. This wasn't an expression of gratitude. The Pharisee did not pray, thank you, most gracious God, because you have given me abundance out of which I am able to share. Thank you for giving me the strength of heart and character and for always keeping me on the right path. No, he said, thank God I'm not like that scumbag over there. His prayer was full of self, full of pride. He was so full of himself, in fact, that he had no space left to receive God's mercy. And so God gave him none. God, I'm sure am glad I'm not like that yucky old tax collector. It's easy enough to see why God would want to be distanced from that kind of self-righteousness and snobbery. But we must be very careful. We must realize that self-righteousness is a sneaky little sin. The line between gratitude and self-satisfaction can be a little fuzzy sometimes, and you can cross over it before you're even aware that it has happened. Now, of course, we don't pray, God, I thank you, I'm not like this tax collector, but do we pray, God, I thank you, I'm not like the Pharisee in that story? Isn't that the same prayer? So many of Jesus' parables have a nasty little hook on the end. Can you feel this one? Now, we're glad when the hook snags the bad guys, but what about when it snags us too? The Pharisee's problem was that he felt no need of God's mercy. As a result, God was disinclined to show him any, and he was not in a state of mind to receive it anyway. His problem was that he felt no need of God's forgiveness, and so he got none. Now, we believe, as affirmed in the book of Genesis, that God created us, and God created us in God's image, intended to be holy as God is holy. And if we are honest, we will recognize that, boy, have we missed the mark big time. Not by a little. I mean, a lot. Like the way I played darts, which I haven't done for years, but Ryan can tell you, I was doing really good if I hit the outside circle on the board, and half the time I didn't even hit the board at all. That's how it is with us in our attempt at being holy and godlike. If we are honest with ourselves, we must sit with the tax collector and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This is the message of our parable. It's intended to remind its hearers of their own humanity, call them to humility, and to recognize who they are and where they stand in relationship to God. But this parable also tells us that when we are in need of mercy, when we are in need of forgiveness, when we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, if we come before God and ask for help, we will receive. God will be merciful to us. When we have come to be forgiven, God will forgive. The good news is that our relationship with God doesn't depend on what we have accomplished in our lives. It doesn't depend on what we've done. It depends on what Christ has done, what he did for us on the cross. And that is, as Richard said, good news. There's a Russian novelist, I'm sorry I won't even attempt to pronounce his name, and I read a memory he shared of his homeland at the end of World War II. In 1941, he and his mother returned to Moscow, where he saw the enemy for the first time. He recalls several thousand German war prisoners were to be marched in a single column through the streets of Moscow. He writes, the pavement swarmed with onlookers, cordoned off by soldiers and police. The crowd was made up mostly of women, Russian women with hands roughened by hard work, lips untouched by lipstick, and thin, hunched shoulders, which had borne half the burden of the war. Every one of them must have had a father or husband or brother or son who was killed by the Germans. And they gazed with hatred in the direction from which the column was to appear. At last, we saw it. The generals marched at the head, massive chins stuck out, lips folded disdainfully, their whole demeanor meant to show superiority over their plebeian victors. The women were clenching fists. The soldiers and policemen had all they could do to hold them back. And then as the line processed and the ranks lowered, all at once, something changed. He writes, my mama went up to the column, took from inside her coat something wrapped in colored handkerchief and unfolded. It was a crust of bread. She pushed it awkwardly into the pocket of a soldier, so exhausted that he was tottering on his feet. And then suddenly, from every side, women were running towards the soldiers, pushing into their hands bread, fruit, whatever they had. The soldiers were no longer enemies. They were people. The response of the crowd to the German soldiers mirrors that of God to the Pharisee and the tax collector. The generals at the front of the march offended the people with their arrogance. They asked for no mercy and they received none. But the foot soldiers near the back were a different story. They were broken, beaten men. And the crowd could not help but respond to their brokenness. So it is with us. When we are riding high, smug, and self-satisfied, we feel no need of grace and receive none. Just as water runs off sun-baked clay, God's grace washes over us without effect. But our seasons of brokenness remind us of our need and prepare us to receive God's grace. And when we are open, when we are humble, when we come before God in need, God will supply those needs. This is the gospel. This is the good news. Amen.